Praise God. Now, I'm preaching from the smallest Bible you've ever seen tonight. Right. I have the regular Bible over there, but I have a reason for using this Bible tonight. I carry this one with me all the time. It's the book of Psalms. The reason I carry the book of Psalms, and I always, for many years, I carried the part of this 91st Psalm, is why I carry it. After I was saved for about a year, suddenly Satan attacked me, demonic forces. Now I understand it a lot better than I did then. But as suddenly, I was sitting in a meeting, and as suddenly as if I were shot, satanic forces brought a tremendous fear and depression on me. Incredible. And I battled this powers of darkness for 2 years, off and on. Sometimes more, sometimes less. I wasn't able to really totally get the victory for almost 2 years. I kept gaining ground, and then this satanic force of fear and frustration and depression would seize me. Satanic. Satan is real as well as God is real. Satan's forces, I experienced it. I know that. But in the process, I sought God with all of my heart, and it changed my life. And at the end of the time, I began to seek God and get into His Word, and I got into the 91st Psalm, and I began to read this Psalm and claim these promises. And they became so real to me that it has nothing magic about it, but I wanted to remind myself all of the time of the promises in the 91st Psalm. So I carried the parts of the 91st Psalm with me, and then finally I decided to just carry the whole book of Psalms with me all the time. And because in this Psalm is the greatest, God's incredible promises of security. And I want to read it to you tonight, and then we'll talk about it for a few minutes. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Now that's going to be the key. Dwelling in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. Now, refuge refers to a place of safety, a place that you can run when the hot breath of Satan is breathing down your neck. You can run into the presence of God, and there's safety in His presence. And He is my refuge and my fortress. Now, the word fortress is a little different. The word fortress comes to us with the idea of a fort, of fortification, of defense, of strength, of ability to withstand the enemy. So He's two things, place to run to and a place to stay there where you're safe. My God, in Him I trust. Surely He, God, shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, that is from the trap of the devil. That here is speaking of trapping birds, and we are the bird, and Satan is the fowler, is the bird trapping, setting traps for us. Satan sets short-term traps, long-term traps for you. He has plans way ahead to arrange and to set the trap for you. He works diligently at setting these traps for you. But He says here that He will be deliver us from the snare or the trap of the devil and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers. We'll talk about that a little later on. And under His wings you will trust. Now you're close to Him. You're under God's feathers and you're under His wings. You're close. You're dwelling in His presence and you're close to Him. His truth is shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid for the terrors of the night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, the destruction that walks in the darkness. No fear of the dark with God. The dark is like the day, nor the destruction that wasteth away at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side. 10,000 can fall. People can fall and be destroyed at your right hand, but it won't come near you. Now that's a promise for these last days. That's a promise for the days ahead. Doesn't matter what destruction comes. Doesn't matter how awesome it gets. Doesn't matter what year it is and wherever in the world you are. If you qualify dwelling in His presence, staying under His wing, keeping under His feathers, it will not come near you. It's incredible. Only with your eyes you'll behold and see the reward of the wicked. You'll see it, but it won't touch you. Because, verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge. Now it's a testimony. That's His refuge. I believe evangelical Jews always believe that King David wrote this. Some Jewish scholars believe Moses wrote it. Well, I'll tell you who wrote it. God wrote it. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Saying the same thing He said in verse 1. There shall no evil befall you. Say, no evil.
No.
Say it loud.
No
evil shall befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now, Luke's gospel, Satan quoted this psalm to Jesus, misquoted it. But he is aware of this psalm. He doesn't like this psalm and tried to misquote it to Jesus. But this psalm was something that Satan quoted to Jesus when under the great temptation, when he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. Thou shalt tread. Now, it has all been defensive till now. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. So it's suggesting here that you're going to get attacked by lions. Satan's lions will attack you. You're not going to be attacking them. They're going to be attacking you. But when the lions attack you, these lions and the adders, the snakes, even young lions, the most powerful lions, and dragons, you will trample them under your feet. When Satan comes as a lion, is a roaring lion to you, you will step on him and rise above him. Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. And it says, and the adder or the cobra or the snake, you will step on that snake and crush them under your feet. When they come at you, you will be victorious over them. They'll be down. And we sang that tonight. Put him way down under your feet. You remember singing that choir? Put Satan down under your feet, way down. And this psalm says you will do that. Hallelujah. And here's the reason. Verse 14. Because He has set His love upon me. How you dwell in the secret place, and under the shadow of His wings and under His feathers, how you do that is by setting your love on Him. Because He set His love on me. The way you dwell in the secret place is by setting. You don't fall. You know, the world talks about falling in love. That's dangerous. You get hurt. Don't do that. Set your love. Decide where your love is going to go. An act of the will. I am going to love God. I will love God. I set my love toward God. I fasten my love on God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Therefore, God is speaking now, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. You know it by setting your love on him, by dwelling in the secret place, by making God your habitation, and you do it by, you know his name by using his name in prayer, by learning his name in this book. You got to get into this book. You got to know this book. Satan quotes it. If he knows it, you got to know it. And you'll use it rightly and powerfully against him. This is his promises. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. He will call, and I'm going to answer him. I answer him. Teaching in Bible college from some years ago, I used to teach the students this. The greatest education you can get is to know God. That's education. And to know how to communicate and to pray and have your prayers answered. That's what you need to know. You need to know how to get your prayers answered. You need to know how to talk with God and have God listen to you. And he said, this person, I listen to them. When they pray, I answer it. God is a God who answers sincere prayer and proper prayer. Say it, he answers prayer. Hallelujah. Call upon me and I will be with him. I will be with him in trouble. Oh, I didn't think we were going to have any trouble. Didn't say that. It said, I will be with you. The difference between the world and folks that are in God, God is with us through our troubles. And he's not with them. They sink. We don't. Somebody say hallelujah. We come through. We win. We fight the dragons, but we win in the end. Hallelujah. We step on them. Hallelujah. We win. We win. We win. Hallelujah. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. These are incredible. If you analyze all that he said in this psalm, he has covered Satan in every category. Absolute security. Total security. Now, how do we get it? How do we get it? And how do we keep it? You get it, as he said, by dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Now, the secret place that he's referring to here, the secret place was the Holy of Holies. It was the Holy of Holies. That was secret. Nobody, the reason they call it secret, nobody ever went into the Holy of Holies in the natural, but the high priest once a year. And it's most dramatic in Solomon's temple, the Holy of Holies. It was approximately 30 feet cubed by 30, could be 35 or 36, but no one knows exactly. But to the best of our knowledge, it was approximately 30 feet wide, 30 feet deep, 30 feet high, three stories high. And Solomon's temple, it was all gold. The wood was covered with gold. Total gold room with a tremendous curtain separating the most holy from the holy. And this curtain was as thick as your wrist. Incredible curtain that hung separating this room from the rest. The Ark of the Covenant is here. And on the back wall, this is where the angels came in, were the two seraphims. And the seraphims were 15 feet each. His wings were 7 feet apiece. And this is so interesting and important. His wing touch the wall, the outer wall, on this side, and on the other side, his outside wing, there were two of them, and the second one, his wing touched that wall, and then their wings touched each other, so that there was not a spot that the wings didn't cover, that you could come in there. The angel's wings covered that room. And the king is talking about getting beneath the wings of God, getting beneath it. The wings of they were on the ark of the seraphim. Now they're exaggerated in Solomon's, in incredible. And then underneath there, because there is no way that Satan's power can get in that room when you're in that room with God. You are absolutely safe. Hallelujah. No way in the world. Can't be done. There are three forces that endeavor to get you out of that room so Satan can work on you and destroy you. And it is the work of the flesh to draw you within. The flesh draws from within us, tells us the desires of the flesh, wishing and asking us and crying and screaming at us to get out of there and do things that satisfy the flesh. Then there is Satan himself with fear and with a direct attack on you, scaring you out of the presence of God. And then there is the world from without that calls you outside. The world calls you from out, and the flesh from within, and Satan with a total different approach. Now these forces, all through your life, these three forces are there to get you out of that inner sanctum and presence of God. King David said it differently, but the same thing in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. So there he is saying, if you stay with close to the shepherd, Jesus refers to it that way, the shepherd. Now in the 23rd Psalm, there's an added blessing that isn't mentioned as clearly in this Psalm in the first parts of it. David said, he makes me to lie down. There's peace in his presence. As well as safety, there is peace. There's peace when you're in God. There's an inner peace that God wants to give to you. I don't care how much trouble there is outside or what the world is doing and what Satan is saying. There's a deep, settled peace that's within you, that's between you and God. Shababaha, riandarabokuria, lidiababahasitia. There's a powerful peace of God that he wants to give you. David says, you lie down in green pastures. There's food, there's supplies, there's everything. And beside the still waters is talking about the peace that God gives you in his presence. Now 91 talks about the security, 23 about the peace that's there. Jesus said he was the great shepherd. So there again, don't wander from his fold. Satan wants you out of the fold, out of the holy place, away from God. Paul the Apostle describes it as being filled with the Spirit, living in the Spirit. Same thing. Same thing that Psalm 91 is talking about. Same thing that Psalm 23 is talking about. And Jesus in his great chapters on the shepherd, same thing. Paul in Romans and Galatians talks about that great struggle. There he deals with the struggle in tremendous detail. How the flesh and the world try. Now David listened to the flesh. Lust after this naked woman he saw bathing. Lust and went after her, raped this woman. Stepped out of the holy place that he wrote about. And committed this incredible adultery, and not only adultery, but rape. And not only rape, but finally murder. Now, he paid, he got back. And I want to talk about getting back too. But he got out by listening to the flesh. If you listen to the flesh, you'll get out. And Satan will do you harm. And will do damage to you and to your life. And you can get out by not only the flesh, but you can get out with fear. Satan has great fear. He'll say to some young single person, now if you don't marry the wrong person, you aren't going to get married. That's fear. So you should listen to God in everything. I'm just using that as an illustration. But Satan is always working with fear. If I don't do wrong, you know, because if I don't, I'm going to lose my job. They want me to lie or they want me to do immoral things. I'm afraid I'll lose what I've got, my position. Satan works with fear. He works on us with fear. Fear that I'm not going to make it. Fear of this and fear of that and all kinds of fears. You cannot listen to your fears. Satan fills us with fears. God wants you to stay in the secret place, and He says, no evil will befall you. You must overcome your fear. You never let fear direct your life. You will not be secure in the end. What Satan says will be the right thing will not be. There's security only in God, in the secret place, in the Spirit. When you follow the shepherd, when you stay in the fold, there's where success lies. And the world allures us. Calls you. This is where joy is. Demas, Paul said, hath forsaken me, loving this present world. Love the world. Love the pleasure the world offers. A good time. It does. It offers pleasure. Yeah, it isn't. It is not. That's not. It's not true. I can't stand here and tell you that the world can't give you a good time. But what a price you pay. You never saw the price tag. Always get the price tag. It reminds me of a corny illustration I heard years ago. It said how the world is like a beautiful bowl of soup. You go to the restaurant, it's absolutely fabulous, a fancy place. And when you get to the last spoonful, there's a big cockroach in it. See, that's always Satan's deal. He's always got a cockroach in it. You can't trust it. You can't depend on it. I learned so much from Corrie ten Boom, who stayed with us two occasions in New York in our ministry. And it's the truth. I learned so much from her. She lived with us, stayed with us that time while she was speaking there in our church and visiting in the city here. And this is the truth. When I was driving with Corrie, they call her Tanta, Aunt Corrie, Aunt Tanta. You wouldn't know whether she's talking to you or the Lord, because she prayed all the time. This is the truth. I'm walking along and we're talking, and all of a sudden she's praying. I have to be careful not to interrupt, because she's talking to me and then she's talking to the Lord, you know. It's just going on like that. And one thing that she said, two or three things she said, it was so impressive. One was, she said she used to worry about being able to stand up in trouble for God. Now, you know her story. She stood up like few people ever have. But she said, as a young Christian, I worried, would I be able to die for the Lord? Would I stand the test? I don't know whether I could or not. And she said, her father said, Corrie, let me help you with that. When do I give you the money to go to Rotterdam? She lived in Holland. When do I give you the money to go to the big city? Do I give you the money or the ticket? I never give it to you, Corrie, till you get ready to step on the train. Then I hand you the ticket. Then I give you whatever you need. She said, God isn't going to give you martyr's courage until you need martyr's courage. But if you will walk with Him, when the time comes for you to really be tested, He will give you the strength for that moment. He will be with you. Now, listen carefully. He said in this psalm, I will be with them in trouble. He will be with you and give you what you have to have when the test comes. It's like when Jean and I received word that our daughter was instantly killed, our only daughter, beautiful daughter, loved her better than life. Now, God gave us the strength. One of our elders said, I was afraid you were folk were going to go to pieces. No, God gave us the strength and supplies that strength. Whatever situation you have to go through, when you're walking with God, He gives you the strength. He gives you the power. He's going to give you the courage. Hallelujah. 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 I will be with you in trouble. When this trouble comes, I will walk with you. And He says, I'm a special blessing, specially near. In time of trouble, He comes specially near and close and gets close to you and lifts you up. And it says, the angels will bear you up. God has made the provision. There's nothing that Satan can throw at you that God can't bring you through and bring you through victorious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Claim those promises. Get in there. Now, another promise that is so great, He says, I will give my angels charge over you. You know, you're not going to battle alone. Hallelujah. You're not going to fight the devil by yourself. Praise God. He's got angels helping you. Angels are going to assist you and pick you up and carry you and watch over you. Praise God. Hallelujah. When the three Hebrew boys were thrown into the fiery furnace, there was a fourth man standing in there. No doubt it was Jesus Himself. There's four. And the king Darius said, didn't we throw three in there? He said, I see four. And they're walking around in the fiery furnace. He said, there was three, there's four. There's always more. God has help for us, for His people. Don't worry about what's coming. God is equal to whatever comes down the pike. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Some years ago, we had Henry Garlick speaking as I was a young man in Bible school, and I got to love him because I knew his family. His family in the Depression, Christians were so close, and Henry Garlick's family coming up from Florida to North Carolina at that point in time, we lived in North Carolina, and they ran out of money. We lived in a very small house, and we were a crowd, and we had some other folks that didn't have homes that were living with us as well. And there was about six or eight of them came and spent the winter with us. I don't even remember where we all slept. I do know this, we slept on the floor, I know that. But how we fit so many in a room, I don't know. But his son was one of the great missionaries, pioneer missionaries of the Assemblies of God, was in charge of the Africa for the Assemblies of God for years, his son Henry. Henry told this incredible story. He was in West Africa, and he was the pioneer, and the gospel had never been preached there. And he had great results, some tremendous results. And this lady came to him and said, my daughter was kidnapped and taken a many days' journey away from here by a tribe of people, warriors. And she's gone, and she's brokenhearted. And she said, would you please get my daughter for me and bring her back? And Henry said, we will. And some of the men all got together with him, and they knew where to go and went, and they got to this tribe late in the afternoon, and they asked the chief about this daughter and about this girl, and they've come together, and they wanted her, and she belonged to her, this woman, and they knew that. They knew the Christians all knew this woman. And he said, no, she's not here. But while they're talking at length, some of the men spotted the girl. So among themselves, they said, they're not going to surrender her. We're just going to walk by, grab her, and run. And take the girl with us. And they did. And they got by nightfall, they were at another village. And and the chief had given them a place to stay, and they were in this rendezvous, and they were spending the night there. And all of them were waiting for the morning. And all of a sudden, these warriors came. They had gotten their warriors together, and they came and discussed with the chief that they were going to destroy them, him, and those folks if they didn't give this missionary over to them and they'd take this girl back. And Henry said, I saw him when the chief pointed out and said, that's the house they're in over there. That's their house. They came and surrounded the place, and they came to the front and demanded that Henry Garlick step out. And he said it was so touching that these men, Christian men, said to him, every one of them said, any one of us will die in your place. Let one of us step out because you are so valuable to us. We will gladly die for you. No, no. He said, no, I'm capable of dying for myself. I'm not going to let you do that because possibly after they kill you, they might want to kill me anyway. So he said, I'll step out. I'll go. And he said he stepped out, and they started swinging his knives. And then he said he shut his eyes because he could feel the air. He couldn't stand to see it. And he shut his eyes to die. And he said, I felt their knives. They were shouting and singing and swinging their knives back and forth, getting ready to just take my head off. And he said, I stood there, and suddenly all of these men fell to the ground. Fell. So I opened my eyes. I didn't feel it. And they got up so humble and said they had seen something. What was it? They saw angels. We don't know. We don't know how many. But they saw it. And they let him go and humbled. And he went back and preached to the chief and everybody. Everybody listened. It changed that situation. They saw angels that came. They took the girl back home. She became an outstanding Christian young lady. And the last he said we knew of her, she was doing fantastic serving God. But angels came in. Let me tell you something. God has angels to take care of us. Hallelujah. We have a host of angelic beings. He will give his angels. Now, you know how many angels there are? There are millions and millions and billions of angels. There's no shortage, no shortage of angels. Don't feel like, could God spare another one? God has plenty of angels to help you and to take you through. The secret is staying in that secret place, staying with the shepherd, staying filled with the Spirit, walking with God. Don't pay attention to the world. The world is anti-God. It hates God. It hates Jesus. It hates it. And it's alluring. Moses said he'd rather endure the afflictions with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Yes, you can enjoy the pleasures. There are pleasures. And you can enjoy them for a season. But incredible price to pay. No, go through with God. Say no to the world. Say no to the world. Say no to the flesh. And the way you do it is staying in the meeting, staying with God's people, staying with God's people, getting into the Word. Get the Word into you and listen and follow the Lord. Take time to know God and get to where you know Him closely, that you can hear His voice, that when He says, go here, you go. When He says, don't do that, you don't do that. You listen to the Lord. He'll tell you in detail. God is a communicating God. He wants to talk to you. He wants to save you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He wants you close. Don't let Satan allure you. Don't let the flesh draw you. I don't care how loud the flesh screams to you, young people. Say no to the flesh and yes to God and go through with Him. Hallelujah. 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 Take Psalm 91. It's God's gift to you, and it works. Hallelujah. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Do you believe that tonight, beloved? Let's stand together. I got one question to ask you. What are you facing? What are you facing tonight? This message you heard before the message came at communion, there was a specific word given by Pastor William that there's somebody facing something that you need God to come through on. And that was God just absolutely opening the door for the message tonight. And while I was sitting there, I was just saying, God, what do you want? What do you want to ask the people? He said, just ask them, what are you facing? What are you facing tonight? It may seem like a mountain to you, but God is going to give you the victory. God is going to give you the victory. Whatever you're facing, you heard it by a prophetic word, you heard it by the preached word, and tonight, I'm just going to give you the invitation. Whatever you're facing, you bring it to God tonight. As we've heard, He has more angels to spare to help you get through. He's got a powerful hand to deliver you, and God will give you that assurance that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Just get out of your seats right now. If you are facing something, whatever it is, whatever you're facing, you come and bring it now before the Lord. Stand before Him tonight, and you watch. God's going to go before you and bring great deliverance into your life. Hallelujah. We've got to believe this, folks. There comes a point when we hear the preaching of God's word that we stand up and say, I believe that. I believe it, and I'm going to act upon it. Let's sing a song now as you just step out of your seats and you come to this altar and say, God, I'm going to trust you in this situation. Come real close as those are coming behind. You need to come into this altar tonight as well. Just noted in Psalm 91 while Pastor Crandall was going through it that God speaks in the third person all the way down until you get to verse 14. And then suddenly in verses 14 through 16, the whole tenor of the psalm begins to be in the first person, where God begins to start saying things like, I will set him on high. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Suddenly when he goes through this whole, the writer goes through this whole psalm, which I believe, as Pastor Crandall said, is God. But God suddenly turns to the first person as though at the very end to give you that final assurance. Despite everything else, I will be with you. I will be with you. Everything. God says, I'm going to be with you. Tonight, folks, we can't dig. We can maybe do a tunnel through the link, you know, underneath the Hudson River and have a Lincoln Tunnel, and we can maybe go through mountains. But God is the mountain remover. We dig tunnels. God removes the mountains. Amen. You need to say, thank you, Jesus. This mountain that you're facing, He is able to move in just one moment of time. Hallelujah. He comes and He says, I will. I will. Five times. I will. I will. I will. Say with me, I will. That's God speaking to you. I will do it for you because I love you. You've known His name. Amen. Now just raise your hands and you just give Him the problems. Give it to Him right now. Just by a simple act of faith. Say, God, I give you my problems. I give you this mountain. And I thank you tonight that your word and this message has given me faith to believe that my God will be with me. Send His angels to keep me from every attack of the enemy, from every temptation in the world, and every desire of the flesh, as we heard tonight. My God is able to keep me. I thank you, Lord. Cleanse me and give me grace and strength. In the name of Jesus, I believe it. Amen and amen. Now give him a shout of praise. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I felt faith rising up in my heart tonight. Sometimes we just need somebody else to come alongside and give us a word of faith right into our heart, right into the situation, and God just takes you out in one fell swoop. Maybe we should say one good swoop. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, give him praise. Well, I just want to thank him tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for a mighty thing you've done this day in Jesus' name. I tell you, I got such a joy. We got to go with a real joyful song tonight. Sarah, let's sing it. God bless you, folks.